entertaining talk radio broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday night miracle. That's right. This is the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. A fine network of shows. Such shows as Best in Show Radio, Bug Zapper Radio, Truth Time Theater, and this podcast here, the DJ New Style Show. Thank you for listening. We've got a lot to get to tonight. Before any of that shit, goddamn, I am Ken, and with me, as always, your friend, my friend,
woo,
Stephen Larper. Steve, how are you doing this fine evening? What's going on, buddy?
Doing good.
Oh, just a fucking a ball of fire. But Goatweed has once again promised that he's going to deliver a guest tonight. I don't think it's going to happen.
What?
Quite honestly, it's been a few weeks in a row that he said this was going to happen. He said he was going to have the guy from Restaurant Stakeout call in. And every week...
Willie Deagle,
exactly. The same guy.
Yeah,
he
right.
Said, every week, he says, why don't you call in the show? Willie replies, what's the number on Twitter? Gives the number. I say, we'd love to hear from you. And then... Never
316-768-4472. I know that number.
That's what it is. Yeah. So he gives out that number to Willie Deagle, and we'll see what happens. We got a. Oh shit!
What?
Here we go. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Steve the LARPer. Who is this?
This Big Willie, Uncle Jack's Steakhouse, Restaurant Steakout, Food Network.
Get
live, Big Willie style. What's going on, guys?
Get out of here. You got to be kidding me. You actually called in.
I told you I was going to call in.
Well, you did. You told us.
Thank you, Mr. Deagle.
A few weeks in the running here. And you know what? To be honest, I am. Yep. I'm impressed.
Yeah, what do you mean? Why not? You guys are always tweeting me. I said, what the hell? Let me call in to you. What's going on? You like the show?
I love the show. Let me tell you something.
I also love this show.
When I went to I live in the area of Hot Rod's Barbecue.
Yep.
And I love
yep.
the place. I love it. I've been there several times, but I'm not a regular. And when I walked to the door and I saw help wanted, they wanted a prep cook. They needed some servers. Maybe they needed a chef. They got rid of the Mama Luke, the big guy.
And yeah, I don't, yeah, yeah.
Worthless.
A lot of people make changes. You know, even it takes them time. I go in there. People don't see. We can't put everything on the show. You know, we only got an hour, but you don't realize how I break down their entire business, you know, from the sidewalk, the viewing, their marketing, you know, the taco place I did, Taqueria. The guy has a taco truck parked in the back. I'm like, put it across the street in that lot, put a big banner on it with an arrow, Taqueria, you know, use it as a billboard. I mean, I'm amazed that half these people had it in business.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is. And I did notice in that Hot Rods episode that throughout the show, you showed the sign that was probably broken during Hurricane
yep,
Sandy.
Yep.
But at the end, brand new mm-hmm. sign. And that was just
sure
a footnote. That was a footnote.
I actually made sure they got it done while I was there.
Yeah.
You know, I made sure they got it done. They were waiting for the Hurricane Sandy money from the insurance company. And what I told them is, I'm like, what are you going to wait for? Till you go out of business and there's no sign? You got to understand, save the money, get it put up, and then save the receipt and get the money back from the insurance company. But if you're going to wait for them, it could take 6 months. You got to be open for business.
Yeah, you're going to turn off potential customers waiting for a check.
You got it.
They're nickel and diming themselves out of this business. That's one of my favorite lines. It's one of my favorite lines you have there.
You can't see the problem. You can't solve the problem.
That's what it is.
I try and simplify things so everybody who's got their own little business can relate with what I'm doing and break it down and execute. You know, I don't complicate things. I didn't go to college. I don't have all these degrees, but I'm a business guru. I mean, I don't care what business is in. This is what I live to do. Mm-hmm. I live to help people. I want to make changes. I evolve. I look at things, you know, it's what I do all day long. I don't sleep. I power nap.
I love
it's a good
it.
Thing, though. That's a humanitarian thing. And these are small businesses, too. So that's another good thing.
Yeah, but one's ever walked in and helped me, ever.
So here's my whole thing. It's a big shock to all these places when you come in with the cameras and the huge setup. And it's not natural necessarily for that business. It's not natural for a small business owner to open themselves up for this type of exposure, to see all the cracks and to have it in front of their face. But to you, it seems like it's second nature. And what I always wonder, when you set this up, when you get this thing set up, It's so just right there in front of your face. When did you come into thinking that this is the way to go, that you had to treat everything like a Vegas casino?
You know, when I started to go and was going to open my second location, because I lived in my first location, I had the key to open, I had the key to close. Mm-hmm. I didn't trust anybody, because I've been in this business a long time, and I know everybody will steal from you no matter what.
Exactly.
Your best worker will steal from you, your friendliest guy, your cousin, your brother. They all wind up taking from you because they just look at it and say, oh, he's making a lot of money here. What's the big deal if I take a 6 beers or I take some toilet paper home or I need some tea and coffee for the house, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? That's how they look at it. It's not like they're all bad people. But it's just human nature. So until you set up controls and lock things up, then I did it in layers. Everything I do in layers. Mm-hmm. So then I look at the cameras. I looked at the connectability. I looked at software, proprietary software I evolved and made in my own computers, and how we have reports and what we track and look at as a customer base. And how do I hold people accountable? How do I get people to execute my game plan? Right? I've had so many managers that want to come work for me. They're failed restaurateurs. They lose their family's money, their money, friends' money, yet they want the keys to my kingdom.
Exactly.
And I'm like, well, you can't manage your own life. You couldn't manage your own business. Why am I giving you keys?
Yeah.
And I basically have to break them down and then rebuild them. And I'm like, listen, not everybody's meant to be a boss. Most people are meant to be workers. It's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. But I live to be a boss, and I don't really care about hurting your feelings. I want to win, and I care about the customer, and you're going to make money, and you're going to be on a team of structure and organization, and your whole life's going to change. So unless you invite these changes and want to do them, you can't work for me. So as that process kept happening, I kept laying in more and more things and learned to deal with people and interview them and read them right away and see if they're right or wrong and break them down, see their strengths, their weaknesses. I played football. I was a middle linebacker. So you know what I mean? I could set up a defense, and I always wanted to blitz and attack. When I was blitzing, I told my corners, the ball's in the air. It's yours. Don't knock it down. Intercept it and score. You know, this is when we go offense. So it's just always been in my blood.
It's incredible, and it's incredible to watch you break down a business and just point out these things that are so fundamentally wrong, and I absolutely love it, because when I watch you on the show, I get the sense, yeah, you're a tough boss, and the initial thought might be, oh, wouldn't want to work for that guy, but why wouldn't you? Because I have a feeling as tough as you are on your employees, I bet you also take care of your best guys.
Oh, no. I mean, listen, I love my guys. I love my employees. You know, I want the best for them. When you come work for me, I'm in your corner. I'm ready to go down a dark alleyway like West Side Story and have a knife fight. Let's go.
Well, hopefully, you know what I mean, hopefully a little more manly than West Side Story. Not just
whatever.
Pitching it.
I love West Side Story.
Back and forth.
Me? I married a Spanish girl because of that movie. You're kidding me? I love West Side Story.
All right, okay.
I'm a jet to my last cigarette, Officer Dumpkin. I'm down on my knees. I love it. Right?
Excellent.
So you know what I mean? So I look at it like, that's how I look at it. I'm like, hey, man, you're an artist. Let's go work. What do you want to do? You want to perform in my show? Let's go. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the people don't want to be committed. people don't want to work hard no more. People get lazy. They weren't motivated. They didn't have great coaching, great parenting, whatever America's pushing today and preaching and the distractions. They don't have the discipline. They don't have the drive. They don't have the fortitude. They don't have the foresight to see past next week.
No.
Everybody wants to work today, 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 next week. What about 5 years? I tell everybody, you got a 5-year plan? I know where I'm 45 right now. I know where I'm going to be at 50.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. All the pieces of the puzzle are there. I'm just putting them together. And yeah, are some of them heavy? Yeah. Are some going to cut me? Yeah. Are some I going to drop on my toe? Yeah. So what?
Yeah.
Keep going. You know what I mean? And that's the difference. When you look at any successful person, I always, even when I was young, I looked at Michael Jordan. And I used to say, he's no different than me.
Yeah.
He's no different than me.
He's selling
Michael
products.
Jordan had a plan. You weren't in front of him defending. He didn't care you were there. He knew what he was going to do. You just weren't stopping him.
That's true. Everybody was just in the right. They were in the place they thought they should be, but Michael Jordan was where he wanted to go. He went where he wanted to go.
It's a switch. It's a switch. You got it. It's a switch you have to hit. And, you know, like I tell people, the negativeness, the blame others, the whining, the woe is me, enough already.
Yeah.
When you want to make changes in your life, look in the mirror and start there. Hmm. Not mommy, not daddy, not husband, not wife, not friends, not this. It can start with simple, like smoking.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, it starts with you looking at yourself.
Yeah. 100%. I totally agree. Yeah, the what ifs or the if onlys are the biggest detraction. They're an anchor around your neck. To hold you back from where you want to be.
My son Dylan, he's 11. He comes to me the other day, Dad, what do you think? You know, I got this idea. I want to build my own computer. Yeah, let's do it. What do you mean we can do that? Yeah, you thought about it. Yeah, we'll buy the parts online. What do you think Michael Dell is? Michael Dell's a box builder. He's got a machine, and he builds boxes. All the parts are made from somebody else. He don't make anything.
That's
he
right.
makes the sign on the damn computer that says Dell. That's it. You know?
100%.
Really? Yeah, okay, I'm into it. Yeah. I'm like, I don't care if we blow up 3 or 4 of them and we figure it out. I want you to do this, and I want you to fail, and I want you to learn, and I want you to realize you could do anything.
So many people are afraid to fail.
Yes.
How do you get by that? How do you figure your way past fearing failure?
Well, I believe the way our education system is set up, that people are scared of failing, because if you get an F, everybody looks down upon you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and society's scared of failing, and it's all this whole monotony and everybody judging you. I don't do anything in my life for what anyone else thinks of me. You like the show, I'm happy. If you didn't, I would hang up and not care one bit.
Nice.
You understand?
I love it.
I do it because what makes me happy. So, like, when I went to school, I didn't like a class. I didn't put any effort. I failed it. My parents got mad at me. But I told them, I don't like it. I have no interest in it. I don't like the teacher. But you used to be great, man. This teacher's horrible. I don't like her.
Yeah.
Well, you got to try. I don't like her. I'm putting my energy on what I like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I didn't care. I really don't care about failing. Failing to me is learning. It teaches me what I'm good at, what I'm not good at.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this. You know, I'm good at this. Oh, my God. I'm going to be good at this.
Well, what was the biggest failure you learned from?
The biggest failure I learned from?
Yeah, personally.
Jeez, personally, shit, I've had so many failures. You know, my biggest failure over and over again is letting myself get disappointed by people.
Mm.
That's one of my biggest failures that hurts my heart the most. I get so involved in the people I hire and that are around me and friends and people that need help and I want to do, and then they disappoint me. Even the show, it inspires me to do, but then restaurants, even though 6 weeks later, 2 months later, they're doing good, but then I hear they're slacking off, and if they don't stay connected to me, they're not asking questions, they're not challenging themselves, they lose the discipline, they fall right back in their bad habits like an old diet.
Yeah.
That disappoints me.
Now, you would go back and help anybody who called you, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to go back and help you.
No, not go back there, but if they called you and wanted 10 minutes just to talk about something.
Oh, yeah. No, I give everybody a number. Call me, man. Yeah,
that's awesome. That's great.
I send everybody out letters with nice pictures and plaques, and I love my time together and meeting so many great people, and they got good stories, and the staff, I'll help anybody, but you got to see, you know, what did they do with all this knowledge I gave them?
Have you ever saw somebody off to a very promising start and then just you said you saw them just completely ignore or just fall off of what you set them up to do or the plan
sure,
that you
sure.
gave them?
Sure.
Do they reach out to you at that point?
The show's only 2 years old now, but you see it.
Oh, that's terrible.
You see the ones right away, the ones that are develop that great sense of urgency like me and get inspired, and they make it like this season I have a lot of that, and they're all over me and they're connected to me, and even though they made more changes, they're asking me and telling me, and it's fine. I mean, you could email me, you could text me, I got a full corporate team. I'm never too busy not to help you.
I'll tell you this: the impression that was left of you at Hot Rods was one that was very, very good. I spoke with Mike B, one of their, I believe he was the waiter that was like overrun during the day.
Yeah.
He was
Mike,
so.
Well, you could see that Mike's a good guy,
dedicated,
a regular guy, a knock around fireman like cop guy.
Yeah.
He cares. He does all the barbecue events and stuff. And he, you know, I talked with him, and you know, we talked always, and you know. You see the guy who was trying to do too much at one time. I mean, you know, and that goes on. Good guy. Really good guy.
Yeah, and he was excited. He was actually promoting the episode to every table. And I overheard. And I said, wait, you talking about Willie Deagle? Restaurant Steak?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, Willie. Awesome dude. Awesome guy. Told us the time. We checked it out. I tweeted you from the table, by the way.
Yeah.
That we're going to check it out. So I'm really excited for this season, and it was
you'll see that tomorrow night's episode is this big guy Louie, big Dominican guy. My wife's Dominican, so her whole family's Dominican. I love, and he opened up this place, and it's called Latin Kitchen in Tremont Avenue in the Bronx, and his mother cooks in the kitchen, and she's got some other little women in there, and they're all like little soldiers back there, and here's a guy I called the episode Mama's Boy.
Yeah.
Why? Is because the guy has a business. His mother's in the kitchen. She's the rock of Gibraltar. The poor woman got hit by a car in front of a restaurant, almost got killed, was in a coma.
Man.
She wakes up. All she cared about was the restaurant and her son because she's a mom. You know, and you know, the Latin women, they got a soft heart for their boys. And I'm like, what are you doing? Are you going to work as hard as your mother does running the front of this house like she does the back of the house? You think just because your mom's here, this business is going to run on its own? She's back there. She can't run this. The front of the house needs your personality. You're a big, hospitable guy. You're warm. You're welcoming. People want to know you. I want to come here and meet you. Who am I going to meet?
Yeah.
Who am I going to eat and drink with?
Exactly.
I want to meet Louie.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had and his staff, it was like an awakening for him. You know, and I told him, come on, Louie, you got to get in here, get to work, get back to basics. Use your personality. It's what God blessed you with. Do it, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like a good story, and one that's probably not that uncommon too. A lot of people probably fall into that trap. They, you know, they get comfortable, they get complacent, and they just let it slip away.
Yeah, not only that. Listen, they all want to blame the workers.
Yeah,
come on, you know,
that's true too. Yeah, they don't know nothing. They don't know how to do. They're so lazy. They do this. They do that. Yeah, and you're sitting there on your ass.
You know what I mean? Listen, you'll never hear me blame my workers. You'll never hear me make an excuse. If you're not happy with something in my store, I didn't do my job.
That's right. There's also other workers out there. You don't have to hold on to these people that you're blaming, that you're using as a crutch. You know, so I mean, your whole mentality is size people up. Get the right person. Treat the people right, and people will be happy to work for you.
And not only that, motivate them, inspire, and motivate them, inspire them.
Yeah,
you're the leader.
That's right. Do you offer any types of incentives to inspire good workers? Is it just purely that?
Always. Always.
Give me an example of that type of thing, like for one of your servers or
winners. We have weekly bonuses based on sales. We track things.
Nice.
We do employees of the month. get an award. We do numerous things constantly in the stores. Guys daily, weekly get bottles. Every employee in the restaurant for their birthday gets a Jack's goodie bag with a birthday cake. We always try, even though I'm driving you and I'm holding you accountable and want the best out of you to get the customer the sickest experience at Uncle Jack's Steakhouse, I'm still caring about you. It's you know awesome. What I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm giving you tough love. It is what it is. This is my business, my show. I want to run it my way. If we're going to fail, I'm going down my way, not your way.
Nice. So you have how many locations now? You have Uncle Jack's Steakhouse.
And I also, have three Uncle Jack's, Uncle Jack's Steakhouse.
And Jack Shack.
And I have one Jack Shack.
Tell me about
Glenhead, Long Island.
Tell me about Jack Shack.
Well, Jack Shack I opened up because, you know, I have younger kids and the way we eat and the education. So it's like a fast, casual burger, sandwich, salad, like soft taco-rito. I call them a taco-rito because it's not a burrito.
Nice.
And it's not a taco. It's middle size, but it's wrapped and there's no rice and beans in it, you know. So it's a very health conscious. Everything's all natural, organic, direct source. You know what farm the chicken and the turkeys and the steers are raised from. So, you know, and the whole place is built of recycled materials, but it's cool, from old scrap tin ceilings, from barn wood. You know, you go to www.jackshack.com. We educate you on the environment. An executive chef cooks the food for you right at the counter with his team. You personalize it. We have different dustings. We call it Get Dusted for the French fries. We got sweet potato, regular fries, plantains. We got seven different dustings that you can put on your fries.
Oh, that sounds good.
We got smoothies. You know, we got the Jack Me Up. You know, we got so many different cool things. We got our own clothing line.
God.
It's called Laid Back. It's all organic cotton made here in America. You know, and we have an organic ketchup bar. It's very different. It's so cool. It's fresh. The food is insane. And you would want one in every neighborhood.
I'll tell you this. I'm looking at...
I want one in my neighborhood.
I'm looking at jackshack.com right now, and the Cuban burger is probably the greatest looking thing I've ever seen in my life.
That Cuban burger. Right? Then I do another sandwich. We do it as a special. It's not on the menu. It's called the Wilbano. That's my version of a Cuban sandwich. So we do, instead of pulled pork, we do we do chopped chicken in it. You know? So, you know, that's my spin on it. So we have a lamb burger called the Jackrow Burger. It's lamb that's done with roasted garlic and oregano and pan-seared, and then a tzatziki sauce with shaved-in red onion and a slice of beefsteak tomato. So it's like a gyro in a bun, but it's a burger.
Like a Greek burger. Oh, real Greek burger.
Yeah.
Glenhead, New York. I think I might I might be taking a visit. I might have to stop by.
Glenhead, Long Island. Then Uncle Jack's Steakhouse, my first one I opened in Bayside, Bell Boulevard, you know, Long Island Road, Railroads there, nice little neighborhood, you know, 50-seat restaurant, nice bar, high-end, classy, first-class service style, anniversaries, birthdays, where deals are done, you know, it's just first rate, all prime dry-aged beef. We hand-pick it, our beef, we stamp it at the meat. We deal with direct with three meat packers that still get the half cattle, you know, not box meat.
Now,
you know,
I think stuff like that, like just being able to identify your sources of your food, all restaurants did that, I think the world
I mean, I'm like what you call a certified steakologist, you know? I'm a steak god in this business. I've been doing it for so long. I know every trick of the trade. I like to do that. I'm, you know, slowly but surely, I want to get away from my ultimate dream. Really, I tell my wife that she laughs. Would it be like have 100 acres, like somewhere in Vermont, and have a huge farm where I raised all my own cattle, my own pigs, my own chickens, you name it. I had a vineyard. I opened up a marketplace with a restaurant cafe. We made our own wine. We did our own coffee, where we self-contained, did everything there. I employed everybody from the town, and it would be the biggest wow factor. It'd be like, oh, my God.
Now, that would be a great thing to actually outsource and franchise, because you would delve into all those different things.
I mean,
you know?
Well, no, I would never do that. The barn, it would be me running it, like, as a retirement thing.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that formula – that formula.
This is his dream, Steve. This is what he wants to do.
Franchises I'm going to do, I'm doing Jack Shack. We're selling territories on the East Coast. For $100,000, you get a territory that commits to 10 stores for every store you open. Averagely to make $100,000-$150,000 a year for a franchisee with a $300,000 investment a unit. You'll become a millionaire after about 8 of them. When you're making $1 million a year, I love it.
You know, for anybody listening out there, for the love of this goddamn Cuban burger, please open up a goddamn Jack Shack across the street from my house. Knock down my neighbor's friggin' house, put up a Jack Shack right across the street so I can become overweight and happy.
Simple little things like the lemonade we make at Jack Shack. We make it with fresh squeezed lemon juice, pure cane sugar every day. It's so sick. People who drink it, like in the beginning, people who don't know drink Coca-Cola.
You drink Country and Time all day.
Like, what's this? What's this? This is disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Then people who know are like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like, who still uses microwaves?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're killing your food. What are you doing? Who's not drinking organic milk? Who's not making every little change you can of this big poison system and the big hoopla marketing that's been going on for years here in America? You got to make changes, you know?
Willie, would you mind taking a call? We have someone calling in that might have a question for you.
Sure.
Okay, 316-768-4472. We have Willie Deagle from Restaurant Stakeout. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hi, I'd like to know if you serve little pumpkins.
Little pumpkins. What the fuck
on
are you
my
talking?
Lap. Little pumpkins on my lap.
Oh, Jimmy, what are you doing? You know what? You're really fucking this up for me, Jimmy. We have a goddamn star on the fucking show, and you're fucking around here.
What's the guy want? Little pumpkins on his lap?
Yeah, he's a jerk off.
What's he, a pervert? This freak? Get him off the ass.
Yeah, all right.
Up his ass.
There you go.
Oh, Jesus.
The fuck out of here.
Fucking pumpkin. Okay. Yeah.
Pumpkin on his lap.
Yeah, what a jerk. I'm sorry about that, Willie. See, here I am thinking that I have a big
enough
show.
I mean, what do you got, 9 listeners? What kind of show is this?
Are you
the only 2 listeners? You guys listen to me? What kind of show is this?
This is a show that we put out there for people to download. We don't normally have a live presence, but I figured that we would try that out and see.
I had to check. Did I call in on the horny goat weed?
Oh, no. That's our buddy goat weed who's been relentlessly pursuing you on our behalf. Yeah. He's a fan of ours. And
Rob the ghost. He's Ghoster. The Ghoster.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good dude. What else can we look forward to on this season of Restaurant Stakeout?
You're going to see, listen, when we filmed the first ones, you've seen we were trying to get the formula down, show America, educate people. And then once you got hooked, we want to get in there, show you much more things. I know this business inside out. I build my places. I design them. I decorate them. I visually take them from a napkin and make them real. So I can cook every item on my menu. I can serve my store. I can greet people. I can bartend. There's nothing I can't do. You're not going to lead and run your business if you cannot actually manage and implement every procedure. So, people will smell that fear. They'll know you don't know what you're talking about, and they're going to take advantage of you. So if you don't know it and you're running your business, you better learn it. You better figure it out so you can retrain anybody else. So we're just really trying to give the viewer as much as possible in that 1 hour to really show them what goes on in this business and show them how little changes mean so much, and to stay positive, focused, and don't forget, customer is king. It's a simple philosophy, but you got to stay committed to it.
You got to take care of them. Absolutely. Restaurant Stakeout is on Wednesday nights on Food Network, right? Shit, I DVR'd it. I don't even know what channel. I'm a fucking jerk off.
Food Network, buddy.
Yeah, thank you very much. I added it to my DVR. Listen, I'm not a professional. I need some procedures and protocols here that I have to. I got to start putting some cameras around this goddamn podcast and sort out my issues. If I can't see the problem, how am I going to fix it?
I got a quick question.
You might be the problem.
I think I might be.
All right, guys, have a good night. I got to go spend time with the wife and kids.
Do it up, Willie. Thank you very much for calling and taking the time. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. You heard him. I'm the problem, Steve. I'm the problem. Oh, shit, I hung up on Steve. Well, you know what? Maybe I'm not the problem after all. That's all I got to say. Holy Christ. Willie Deagle from Restaurant Steakout. Let me just tell you this. Here's the problem with Goatweed's guerrilla-style guest booking. We don't necessarily know exactly when they're calling in.
Yeah. I was like, all right, someone's calling in. It's Willie Deagle.
Oh, okay. My God. All right, we have a caller here. I think someone wants to redeem themselves. 316-768-4472. You're on with Steve the LARPer. Who's this?
I am sorry.
Oh, that's...
You know,
you should be.
I thought it was a prank. You know, I just literally logged on.
That was a 25-minute prank we were pulling right at the beginning of our shows, telling everybody we had Willie Deagle on.
Exactly. But, you know...
This is my... I apologize. I, you know, put the kids to bed. My wife's bringing home her sick mother. You know, I was like, you know what? Let me log on. I, you know, learned a whole new thing by hanging out with Mr. DJ, that I could listen to the show on my iPhone, and I got hooked in. And I was like, it's Tuesday evening. I've had about 12 beers.
Jeez.
Let me see if this guy is still online. Shit, I don't know what time it is.
You're drunker than Steve is, and that never happens.
He's way drunker than I am.
Yeah.
Unless he has a titanic tolerance right now.
This is pretty amazing. I had no idea. I had no notes ready. I'm usually pretty prepared.
That was a great interview. He took it himself, man. That, you know,
Jimmy, are you familiar with the show Restaurant Steakout on Food Network?
No, not even a little bit.
You gotta check this out. This guy, here's the gist for anybody who hasn't seen it and will be watching it after the show. Naturally, he comes into a restaurant. He fills it with cameras. Like, these are struggling restaurants. Fills it with cameras, sets up a huge surveillance booth.
No, they're not always struggling. Sometimes there's just something. It seems like they're not making enough money, and they don't know
that
where
would be struggling.
That's coming from.
That would be struggling. Well, they have problems. Let's just say that, Steve. Is that good enough for you?
Yeah,
they're not.
There's
it's not that they're
problem.
Struggling. They're just not making any fucking money. Whatever you want to call it.
Like, they'll say their alcohol sales are below normal for the last
true.
3 months.
So he'll set up this surveillance rig and watch it and take notes. He'll watch the goddamn cook. He'll watch the wait staff. He'll watch the customers' reactions. He'll watch how people are treating the customers. There was this one bitch eating a fucking hoagie over the bar from behind the fucking bar. She's like, I'm on my break. What do you need? Wipe her mouth, touch a glass, you fucking pig. And he watches all this, and he shows it to the goddamn owners, and he's like, and he fucking yells at him, basically. When you see the pre-recorded segments of this show, it is the most fucking intense I've ever seen a human. I don't think he blinks.
I've never seen him blink in that
pre-recorded video, when he's got like a pink tie on, he does not blink for like 5 minutes. He's so fucking passionate about this. What a good dude, Willie Deagle.
So what you're saying is he does what I do, with just a different type of environment.
Yes.
What do you do? Security?
Jimmy saves restaurants.
I'm a security expert.
Yeah.
Expert. Jimmy, I take anything that you're an expert of with a grain of salt. Let me just tell
Jimmy's
you
currently locked in his own basement right now.
I'm not locked. I choose to be down here.
Well, yeah. I mean, you did lock yourself in there. 12 beers deep. Jimmy, I got to say... Steve, you might not know this. I'm not sure if you do, but I had the opportunity to hang out with Lil Jimmy Rhodes, Sobers, Shawnee Murphy on Friday night. I hadn't physically witnessed Jimmy. I hadn't been in his presence and shared oxygen with him in 2 years.
I don't remember the last time I saw Jimmy.
This is one.
Hold on, guys. Hold on. Ready? Did you hear that?
I'm assuming it's another beer.
That was another beer.
Any clink of metal or anything, any slight noise, I'm going to say that some kind of alcohol that shouldn't be consumed, that will be consumed. I'm enjoying a Bass Ale, brown bottle beer. Fuck green bottles. I'm done with it.
Hey, I'm with you. I'm in a Yards Pale Ale right now.
Very good.
Miller High Life, champagne of beers.
Yeah, that's good, Steve. You're probably drinking it out of a plastic bag, too. No. Congratulations.
No, that's how they serve milk in the Southeast Asia. No, these are pure 32-ounce cans.
32. I thought they were like the bottles.
Did you just say a 32-ounce can?
Jesus.
32-ounce cans of Miller High Life, yes. $1.80 a piece.
Fantastic.
They crash in San Diego. Mm.
So, Jimmy, we got the chance to take in a comedy show and have a few beverages. And I haven't seen you in 2 fucking years. Like, I consider you one of my best friends. I haven't physically been near you. I haven't spoken to you face-to-face, hung out with you in 2 years.
Well, I was in jail for that bit, but...
Well, I mean, I could have done some window love. I just didn't do it. Life got in the way.
I understand. I mean, I'm only a phone call away through a plastic glass, but it's all right.
Phone call away through a plastic glass.
Oh, man. Little pumpkins on my lap. Oh, yes. Willie Deagle's going to put a pumpkin up your fucking ass. Oh, shit.
You know, I thought it was a prank because I heard he was going to make everyone millionaires. And when I heard millionaires...
Listen,
he's never said that on the show either, and that's got to be like a personal.
He might just be testing it out. He knows that we don't have a substantial audience, so this is like a big comedian doing a 20-seater.
He did start out with Will Smith references.
Oh, I didn't hear the Will Smith references.
He said, it was right at the beginning when he called in. It was definitely a Will Smith reference.
All
right,
so I just want to challenge anybody to get Willie Deagle on their podcast, and not only that. Have him sing a portion of West Side Story. Get out there, bitch. Make it happen. I don't think it's going to happen for you.
No.
You don't have Goatweed on your side to just bombard you with a big guest. And yes, he is a big guest in the scope of our show.
He's got a primetime show that's in production.
Yeah. Oh, man. How fucking terrible do I feel? I fucked up the plug. I feel rotten.
What? Which plug?
I'm like, oh, don't forget Restaurant Steakout tomorrow night. On what is it? Food Network? It's on Food Network, you jerk off. It's on fucking Food Network. All right, yeah, okay. Well, listen, I'm going to get out of here and go count my fucking money.
Hold on. What was the other channel you thought it might have been on?
I don't know because I don't know. I saw some shit with Gordon Ramsay on BBC. I mean, yeah, he's British, but I didn't know if maybe he's on the Travel Channel. Maybe he's on the
BBC One.
There are cooking and restaurant-related shows not on fucking Food Network, and I didn't know if his was one of them. Because I had only just started watching it.
He's not British.
Well, no shit, Steve. But what I'm saying is, I'm suggesting that perhaps he's not on fucking Food Network, and I didn't want to fuck that up, even though in doing that, I fucked it up.
No, wait. Isn't there's another one, right? That it's like the same format that came after?
Yeah, that was when it was like... there's like a guy with a polygraph or something, and he's like very serious. He's like, yeah, they're stealing from you.
Was that on Food Network?
That wasn't on fucking Food Network.
That's right.
Yeah, there was all one where they were doing like fucking body shots on the fucking the diner booths, and the owner's so fucking shocked. Oh my God, I can't believe it that these people who get paid dick are fucking around in a place they have the keys to. I can't believe it.
I think Restaurant Steakout would be a good show to develop a drinking game for. Anytime the owner says...
Systems of protocols!
No. Anytime the owner says, that's it, I've had enough.
I can't watch anymore. I can't do this. Anytime you hear the word can't.
I can't watch this anymore.
You're nickel and diming yourself out of this business!
Nickel and diming yourself. Take a shot.
Yes.
So wait, I just want to find out because I don't know anything about this dude.
Yeah.
So... he's selling for $300,000 that he'll sell you a good store, or that he'll come fix your store.
Right? He said no, a land. That doesn't...
You get to buy a territory. I guess you can just fucking put your stakes up around a part of this fine country. And then commit...
His name to go say your store sucks. Is that what it is?
No. You would never want to say that, because his restaurant is awesome.
Oh, so he's selling, it's a franchise to buy his restaurant.
Yes, that's what he's doing.
Jim, that's franchising.
That is what franchising means.
Yes, so you can just listen. Here's the thing, Jimmy. I never want to enter the restaurant franchise business, and I don't want to open a franchise, so I kind of tuned out, and I left that for the listener to absorb. So feel free to download this episode when it's posted. Work out the numbers. Get a yellow scratch pad, perhaps a pencil. and write down some of the figures that he was shooting out there. I found it very interesting that he wanted to put those out there. But you know what? Maybe, who knows? Maybe he figures there's some rich, eccentric person ready to open up a burger joint that listens to this fine show.
Jersey.
Well, yeah, I hope he does. I hope he does.
Is he Long Island only? Not even Manhattan?
Well, his steakhouse is in Manhattan.
Oh, so he does. Yeah, okay. All right. So he does have one Manhattan.
I had to say, I think. Because, again, don't have notes. Just have vague bullet points that if I could get him on the show, I'd talk about this. Meanwhile, the guy's agreed to call the show 3 weeks. Hasn't. I mean, understandably so. Why would you call this fucking show? But he does, and I'm completely fucking flustered. But anyway, I think I held it together, right? And I also especially loved when he just fucking shot your idea of franchising the farm. I'm not gonna fucking do that.
I'm not fucking doing it.
That's my dream.
Well, it sounds like a good. No, I was just gonna say it sounds like a good thing. You're getting like a whole bunch of people involved.
Yeah, fuck you. Get your own farm.
All right, fine, Willie.
Do you think he goes to sleep wearing cufflinks? I can't picture that guy just wearing a fucking sweatsuit. Probably fucking suit, vest, goddamn tie, all year round. Fucking 24/7.
I don't think I can picture him out of AAA attire.
Definitely not. I mean, what kind of service would that be? You think he tips the mailman? Just says, "This is for you. This is for you. Thanks for bringing that letter."
I guarantee you, on Christmas he does.
I wouldn't doubt that. I wanted to ask him about his van. He was posting pictures of a fucking van that he's painting like every side of. He's like, we're painting the roof with our logo. That's how Jack Shack rolls.
Hey, market yourself.
Do it. That's right, Jimmy. Jimmy. So, 2 years. Finally got to hang out. You got a little shitty, didn't you?
Yeah, I was a little
pissed.
I enjoyed a cocktail or 10.
Yeah. Jimmy realized that it was last call and decided to buy two. He came back with three drinks. And I said, oh, wow, that's great.
Jimmy knows
I'm not drinking anymore. He's gotten three drinks for Bobby, for Shawnee Murphy, and himself. No, he handed me a water out of his fucking pocket, which was probably halfway warmed by his dick. And he had another water. And he had for Sean, and he had two fucking beers that he put right down in front of himself. And in the blink of an eye, they were gone. Like the fucking man show pianist, whatever, that organ player. You just fucking ziggy-zacked him right down his goddamn esophagus.
Aw. Didn't that guy
I love you, but the wife's home and I gotta go. So
Jimmy, thank you for calling in.
You guys. I'll see you next Tuesday.
Jimmy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And you know, you can stop the drinking. It's okay.
Bye, guys.
Have a good night, buddy. Man, let me tell you something. I was so happy that that I got to hang out with Jimmy, and then I was a little bit upset that I got the text from Jimmy that says, "What is the name of your show?" First of all, and I keep hanging up on Steve, which I am very sorry for.
I can deal with
it. I got a text from Jimmy that says, "What is the name of your podcast?" and I wanted to say. The same one you've actually been a host of at one point. It's the DJ News Style Show.
Episode 27, if you want to hear Jimmy's hosting.
That's right. And this morning, I forgot I had sent that to him, and he sent me a text that simply said, "Try 40, you son of a bitch," which was a callback from last week's episode where we had a representative from every Heroes Talk Show call in, including nice. Truth Time Theater's Jeff. We had Best in Show Chris and Clayton from Bug Zapper Radio. And, of course, our pal Germ Freak, who I saw tonight.
Yeah, I saw you guys went out.
Yeah, I'm trying
to. I saw the picture, and I'm like, wait, I hope you're not still out and you remembered about the show.
No, I remembered. But here's the thing. I realizing that I hadn't seen my one of my best friends, Jimmy, in 2 years, it kind of made me realize how quickly time is passing, and you only get a certain number of fucking years. And I realized I hadn't been putting too much work in some of these relationships. Like, for example, Steve, I've seen you more recently than I've seen Jimmy. I've seen you more recently than I've seen, you know, people that I've hung out with like for like a decade every day.
Yeah.
You know? And I've seen Clayton, who lives in Texas, more recently than Jimmy. And I'm starting to realize that, like, I'm growing apart from people that, you know, I would have considered really, you know, really good friends.
I'd like to see Jimmy and hang out with Jimmy. Jimmy, some things in my life, some, like, associations I have with things just instantly revert back to things that Jimmy has said. Now, he's invented words and phrases probably his entire life, like reaching out to call you through the plastic in front of me. Or whatever the hell he just said before.
Yeah.
And like, basically every night that I hung out with Jimmy for years, you know, when we were at our mutual friend's house or over at Shawnee Murphy's. Like, I that was our whole crew. Actually, you didn't hang out with us then.
No.
Because I don't know where you were, college or something.
Yeah.
Well, and you lived kind of far, but so did Jimmy. But Jimmy's, I don't know. He's a crazy man.
But
he's got a high level of energy to get places.
He's a very quotable person because, you know, when somebody doesn't know the word they're looking for, they pause or they ask or they kind of stutter or they do something. Jimmy just kind of says the next few syllables that he's able to say, and no, that becomes whatever it is.
Jimmy has the most audible brain ever. Like, there's really no, you know, it's like a pipeline.
Maybe.
From his brain to his mouth.
It's not necessarily like that. It's just that he doesn't necessarily know the word that he wants, and the next few syllables will do. whatever they may be. And I realized, because of that experience and because of that realization, that I need to make a bit of an effort. I need to do something to keep some of these relationships and friendships alive. And I'm just starting to realize that being a lifelong bad friend, a lifelong just I coast through life, and it's me. It's 100% me, and it's something that I really desperately want to change. And we'll see if I do. But I'm gonna at least give it a shot. I'm gonna give it hell, as Clayton would say. As he may say tomorrow night on Bug Zapper Radio. One of these relationships, for example, people that I want to keep in touch with, I haven't even met the guy, but I'm doing my best. And I actually got a message from our friend Eric Ryan, formerly of Eric's Archives, Eric's show he was going to do on Heroes Talk that he did one episode of that we loved and decided it wasn't for him. We didn't publicize it because he didn't want us to, but it was amazing. He sent me a link. That he put out an album called Armed with Audio. And you go to ericryanmusic.com and you can download it. You can check it out. I urge you to purchase it. It's incredible. We're going to take a quick break and play one of his tracks. And we'll be right back. That's ericryanmusic.com. This track is Keep Digging, Steve. You got your shovel?
I got my shovel and my trowel.
You got your goddamn gold pen? You going to go with Sandwich Humor Jeff? Get some fucking nuggets and flakes.
I would do it.
Let's do this shit. Let's keep digging with Eric Ryan Music. Digging. Oops, sorry.
Digging, digging, this is how we dig. Digging.
Hi, this is DJ Newstyle, host of the DJ Newstyle Show, and I'd like to thank you for listening to the fine shows that we produce on HearUsTalk.com, entertaining talk radio broadcast on the internet. You're the best there is. That's right. You are the best possible person because you like what we do, and we're selfish assholes. Well, now it's time for us not to be selfish. We're not going to ask you for your money. We don't want your donations. But if you'd like to support us monetarily, buy yourself something great, interesting, weird. Just buy something for yourself that you'll get a goddamn kick out of. Go to hearustalk.com/Amazon. Click to Amazon from our site, and we get a small percentage of any purchase you make. You get something to talk about, to enjoy, or to pass on to a loved one, and we get a small kickback. That's what I like to call a win-win. HearUsTalk.com/Amazon. And thank you again for listening to the shows that we produce on HearUsTalk.com.
I've given my whole life to this. I've given my whole life to this. I've given my whole life to this.
The DJ Newstyle Show.
Oh, yes. I'd like to thank everybody for listening live tonight. You're not listening live. You're taking a shit right now? Or driving to some miserable job? Or occupying your time in a hugely unemployed day? Avoiding looking for work? Catch the shit as it happens. Go to hearustalk.com/live. Tuesday nights, the DJ Newstyle Show at 10 p.m. Eastern. Live! Wednesday nights, Bug Zapper Radio, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 9:30 Central. Oh, and that's p.m. You better believe it. Coming soon, Truth Time Theater will be live and best in show soon. That's right, all live on HearUsTalk.com. Simply visit HearUsTalk.com/live. Follow us on Twitter, @HearUsTalk, for announcements when we're crafting this fine, fine ear candy. Thank you, and have a good evening. Or day, or shit. Whatever you're doing right now. But the next time we meet, you better be listening to this as it comes out of my mouth. HearUsTalk.com/live.
Mike from Queens, and you're listening to the DJ Newstyle Show because you're pathetic. If you want to know what real men do, get in your underwear, get on the PlayStation Network, and eat microwavable foods.
Welcome back to the DJ Newstyle Show, exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. Thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Steven!
Yeah, I love that little track.
Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it? We got to get him on a new project.
Yeah.
Geeks of Rage was amazing. I loved it.
I love Mike.
But they couldn't work it out. I don't know what it is. I don't know why they couldn't do it. Why they fell out of love. Them explaining it to me is like when a husband and wife get divorced and they have to explain why mommy doesn't love daddy anymore to the kid. When mommy and daddy know damn well it's because they can't fucking stand each other. But the kid just thinks, mommy and daddy gonna be together forever. What you mean? I love y'all. And here I am loving Geeks of Rage. But we'll always have the previous episodes. Isn't that right, Steven?
They'll be there forever and ever on the internets.
Ever and ever and ever. Unlike Alex Trebek, your hero. You're formerly mustachioed,
come on.
Fucking greasy hair.
I have no Canadian heroes.
Well, you made a point of telling me that he was retiring.
Yeah,
and then I guess we got to thinking who would be the ideal replacement. I think we mentioned that on the show at one point, but we never really heard anything definitive from them. But apparently, there are two front runners for this gig.
Well, there's really one front runner.
Now, first of all,
another consideration.
Okay, but think about Jeopardy. Think about the show.
Yeah.
It's about the show. Alex Trebek just happens to have been on it long enough that you know his name. And if you hear his name, you associate it with the show Jeopardy.
Yeah, you don't associate him with anything else, possibly Will Ferrell.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And possibly Sean Connery. But that's because
it's Jeopardy. You think about the fucking product. You think about the show. And then I hear you told me who is going to be or who they're considering. And I don't like it. And Steve, why don't you share with the listeners who, like, it could be anybody. It should be someone who can handle the game show. That isn't necessarily known, isn't really widely known. You don't have to be a fucking person with a fucking following to succeed on Jeopardy. You just have to be a guy who can be fucking smarmy and really dig it into intellectual people who made it past the fucking auditions.
No.
And get shit wrong.
I don't think you should be like that, because that's the part of Alex Trebek I do not like.
That's the branding, Steve.
No, you're that's in Jeopardy. Alex Trebek's take on Jeopardy.
You're in Jeopardy. What do you want it to be? Friendly? You don't want him to fuck with anybody?
Wait, you want him to... No, I don't want him to be condescending. Like when he says, oh, good guess. Like, you don't know if that
good guess. Oh, what an asshole. He does say good guess.
Good guess. It's been on the last two episodes, the last 2 days. 2 days ago, he it was a daily double, and you know he sounded unsure of his answer. But it's an educated guess.
Now I know we mentioned Jeopardy a lot, and this will be over soon. I know people don't like it. I don't give a shit. I love it. But my favorite thing that he does that's so fucking douchey is at Final Jeopardy, and he's still writing. Okay, no more writing.
It took you a long time.
Yes. He spent a lot of time. Final Jeopardy. And you spent a lot of time writing. Let's see what you have.
Let's see, fuck you.
This isn't a final. Like, it's not like you're my fucking boss. I'm on a goddamn show with fucking cash on the line. You fucking curly-cued piece of shit. Fucking look up old pictures of Trebek with his fucking 70s fro.
The mustache.
He had a big fro, too.
Yeah, back in his early days.
Like goddamn Bob Ross. With a fucking tailored
Bob
suit.
Bob Ross would have been a better host.
Yeah, he would have been. So, well, we don't know who the people are yet, but there are names in the mix.
Yeah, the front runner, I'll tell you.
Who's the front runner for This Is Jeopardy?
With your host, Matt Lauer. Doesn't sound right. Does not sound right.
What would he do? Come out there with a little quick run? Head down, like, okay, guys, we're going to fucking do this. I'm bald.
Yeah. Is he bald now?
I'm losing my fucking hair, guys. Let's get into the show. Fucking asshole. I fucking hate Matt Lauer.
I don't like Matt Lauer. And I don't like him. It's like a 50-50 thing. I don't care about him either way, really. But to be a Jeopardy host? Nah. The other guy, though, I think would be pretty good. That would be Anderson Cooper.
So they're actually considering Anderson Cooper?
Well, the thing was, Matt Lauer's, I think, Today Show. Is that what he's on?
I guess Meredith Vieira had a big fucking run on Millionaire. So they're thinking...
She hosted Millionaire while doing the Today Show.
And by the way, on YouTube, you can see her fucking steaming her fucking old woman's pantsuit when a Navy guy sits down.
Ugh.
Did you see that? Did you see that video? She gets a little bit fucking saucy with a younger man.
I don't really care.
She practically told the contestant of the show that she's the host of that he could enter her.
I saw that. He was like a Marine or a Navy guy or something, right?
Yeah. Meanwhile, she's like fucking 58.
No, you know what, dude? I give her props on that episode, because if you watch that on YouTube,
this is Steve saying that he would do her. You would do it.
I would.
Would you be gentle?
No.
Would you stick around afterwards, Steve, and maybe hum her favorite song to her as you ran your fingers through her old lady hair?
You know what? I don't think I ever even watched.
And just whisper in her ear that she looks 30 years younger?
Yeah, well, how old is she?
Feed her grapes and shit. I don't know. She might be. I would say 50-something. I'm going to take a look right now.
40s, early 50. I'd say she's about 40. 49 to 52.
What? Shout out to Meredith Baxter Burney, who's coming up ahead of her. In the goddamn Google suggest. Meredith Vieira. Yes.
Wow.
All right, so let's see how old this fucking bitch is. Oh, my God.
Dr. Bernie.
59 years old, Steve.
Holy shit.
She's got mothballs. She's got like a mothball basement smell going on.
You know, my interpretation of her, though, comes from that video. When was that? Was that 2003 when she was 49 years old?
No, it wasn't 2003. Fucking, she maybe took that show over in, oh no, she replaced Regis in 2002. Holy shit, I'm losing track of time. Pretty soon I'm going to be like my grandmother was, unable to tell how much a fucking gallon of milk cost. Not quite sure what the new technology thing was.
Go to the corner store, get me some milk.
I think my grandmother actually, she never said it, but she looked like she was ready to ask me why my TV had a typewriter attached when I showed her my laptop.
Why is your TV got all those keys?
And you never think you're going to get there until you're fucking there. And then all you can think of is, oh my God, when is it going to end? And then it ends. And that's it.
Yep.
Holy shit. So that's why you got to get in touch with your fucking friends. You got to keep in touch with them, Steve.
Yeah.
Take care of the people that are around you. Like, I just started.
You said life goes fast. What you got to look up sometime is like the average lifespan in days. And it's only like, it's not even over 100,000 days.
Jesus Christ.
That's depressing. You think 100,000, that's you can kind of visualize 100,000. You know, like when you get into millions and billions, it gets much harder, but. You know, you get, what is it, 96,000 days?
I don't
know.
All I know is I'm going to have to start reading about Meredith Baxter Burney because Goatweed has a new goal. He just said he's going to try to reach out to her and get her on the show. He delivered Willie Deagle. He blew it with Sally Kellerman, or maybe we did. Maybe we did by relentlessly antagonizing and insulting this elderly actress that was famous in the 60s. Jesus Christ, we're terrible. But yeah, I don't know, man. Looking at it in days is fucking horrifying.
No, it's lower than I thought. It's got to be like 30,000 days, something like that. Cause horrifying. Figure 36.
Think about this. How many more summers? 36,500. How many more fucking
years.
Summers do you think you have, Steve? You
summers?
Think, yeah, summers. Just that one season.
22.
Fuck. Isn't that fucked up? You wait all year 20? For your favorite fucking season. You're only going to get it 20 more times.
No. I'm 33, man, so divide that.
Oh, 19. You get eight. So 19. You keep drinking 16 32-ounce cans every fucking Tuesday.
I got 12 left.
12? Jesus Christ. 12 summers. Better make them count, Steve.
48 years and 33?
Mom's leaving town. The house is ours. As long as we clean up, it's cool. Fuck.
What?
I don't know. Parents. Speaking of parents, Steven, I decided to do something nice. My mom, when she watches my dog while I'm at work. I don't just cage him. I did originally, and then I was told that that's not good, and I felt bad about doing it. So
I heard caged dogs shit the house a lot.
What?
I heard that when you cage a dog a lot, they'll shit in the house because they're used to shitting in the cage. Which is in the house.
They don't.
Of going
they don't
out.
Shit in the cage. The whole point of keeping them in the cage is that they don't want to shit where they sleep. If they shit in the cage, it's just because they've been in the fucking cage for longer than they can hold.
Yeah. Well.
Well, you don't keep them in there fucking longer than they can hold. It's not a permanent holding cell. It's supposed to be when you don't want them in your fucking shit.
Yeah, but the thing is, sometimes you fuck up the timing and they'll have to shit in the cage because they got to shit. And you walked them, but maybe they didn't shit enough.
If they take half of their shits in the cage, you just should not have a dog. That's just how it is.
Oh, I wouldn't cage a dog. I would take it out to shit twice a day.
Would you come home when you're working 12 hours 12-hour days? Would you come home to let the dog out the shit?
No, I'm saying you do it once before you leave, and once when you get back. Most dogs, I think, are good like that. I don't think they need.
That's
to
a
shit
12-hour.
Three times a day.
That's still a 12-hour span between shits.
Yeah.
That's a long fucking time.
So 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. I mean, they need to shit it.
Look, I know I'm not a direct parallel to a dog. I shit 5 to 6 times every day.
I don't think dogs need
I
to
can't,
shit.
There's no way I can go 12 hours without taking a shit. I have to. 12
I think dogs have better bowel control than you.
I'm sure they do.
Generally.
So in any event, Steve, what I've decided to do is I years ago at this point, I drop the dog off at my parents' house. They're on the way to work. I drop them off. And usually when I pick the dog up, my mom's cooked dinner. So she's like, oh, take some of this home for you and Amanda. Take some of this home. So occasionally I relent, t- take this stuff home. I eat it. It's very good. Normally just bring back the fucking dish. Sometimes I clean it because I'm a fucking asshole.
Oh, that's
and
that's
then I realized, you know what? I'm not handling this right.
Yo, you do not ever, ever in life return a dish on fucking cleaned.
Well, I realized that.
Put in it for you.
I realized that. So never. Not only do I clean it, what I've been doing now, Steve, is because I cook extra, and I bring the cleaned dish home with food that I prepare specifically for my parents to enjoy.
Oh, so you're saying you cleaned it because instead of putting the freshly cooked food in the dirty dish, you prefer a clean dish.
I'm only saying that because I feel like I have to clarify that I am now cleaning.
Well, you better clean
dish.
The goddamn dish before you put fresh food in it.
Yeah. Well, I was scumbag
like
enough.
Tack that on as doing something good.
Well, no, I'm correcting something bad. Is what I'm saying. Because I was the type of scumbag that would bring a dirty dish back. I am no longer that scumbag. And I'm going above and beyond by preparing food for them.
And well, your mom's got to clean that dish.
You know what? Fuck it. Fucking wash it out, Ma. Let's hear you complain. That's some fuck. I gave her some nice salmon. I made some salmon.
No, both of your parents
fucking
saw a
beans.
Post that they loved it.
Yeah, they loved it. They wrote that they loved it. And then when I asked them about it in person, I'm like, oh, so you enjoyed it. They're like, yeah, I wrote it on your Facebook. I'm like, this is not what I'm expecting from my parents. I'm expecting me to say that.
Yeah.
I'm expecting the table to be turned here. They asked me something. I'm like, I fucking emailed you. Do you read your fucking email? No, they basically did it to me.
My mom gets me with that a lot. Like, she'll call me 20 minutes after she emails me. And like, okay, I get email alerts on my phone, but I get a lot of like fucking worthless shit, so I'm not right on top of my emails. Maybe if I was working and I got emails through another account, I would be more on it, but no. But 20 minutes later, did you get that email I sent you?
Yeah.
I'd be like, no. What did it say? She goes, read the email. I'm like, just tell me. You're talking to me now. It'll take more time to me to do that.
If you were working in an office, not only would you be more hassled by your email, you'd be hassled by a new form of what your mom does, which is someone sends you an email. And within 5 seconds, they're at your desk saying, hey, I sent you an email, and now they're ready to fucking talk about it.
No. I've gone through that before. I mean,
it's the most frustrating fucking thing. So I sent you an email. Great. I'll read it. Get the fuck out of here. Is my first fucking thought every single time. But I have to do the slow turn and the convincing smile. Like, okay, yeah. Now let's talk about this thing I didn't have a fucking chance to read. Let's fucking do it. So what I'm thinking is, why couldn't if choose one? Come over to my desk and start a conversation. Don't give me a fucking a bulleted list of things you'd like to cover. Fucking talk to me.
No, hold on.
I don't write your fucking email.
I understand that though. I understand that because there is a good reason to do that. Actually,
why?
And that's accountability.
But that's bullshit. I mean, that's fucking pathetic, isn't it?
No, because I've had to do that to people because I knew they didn't do their job. I'm not saying this about you. I'm just saying I've done the same thing where I needed something done, and I would email an outlined list about everything that needs to be done to a specific person I know doesn't do their job well, but is the only person that you can go through.
Steve, that
is
100%
fine. And then walked over to that person
fine.
And explained it to them.
It's 100% fine to send the information.
Right.
Allow somebody to get a chance to deal with it. If you have to add a conversation to this, and you can't attach a fucking MP3 of your voice... Which would be ideal, to be honest, in some cases.
You want to have like the conversation one-sided, recorded, and attached to said email?
Look, I'm not a sales guy. I'm a goddamn developer. If I could have every interaction digitized and ready to go at my fucking ready, I would be happy. However, that's not the case. So if you need to come over and have a fucking a pep talk prior to me reading the email... Don't fucking send the email until you're ready for me to fucking read it.
So you're saying have the conversation first and then say, I'll send you an email about it.
I'll send you everything you need. Is fine. I prefer that to, I sent you an email. And then begin a conversation. It just fucking bothers me. Yeah, I'll read it. I'll fucking read it. Or how about you just write a fucking email that doesn't require any additional fucking explanation? Get to your fucking point.
Well, I understand that better than anything else, so.
Yeah. Irritating.
I guess you're right in that respect. Like, it's redundancy and it's unnecessary. Like, at the best level, you should just be able to send the email and not have to even walk over and talk to the person. Mm. But sometimes people are dumb.
Steve,
you gotta go do that.
I mean, we had a Food Network star on the show tonight.
Yeah,
and I'm getting into cooking. I'm not going to open a restaurant because I don't need Willie Deagle to tell me that I don't have systems and protocols in place, and I'm nickel and diming myself out of the business. I know I wouldn't be a good restaurant manager, a restaurateur. I wouldn't be good at that, but I do enjoy cooking, and I watch the shows, and I need to know right now, Steve, is Guy Fieri, whatever the fuck is that, is he an asshole, or is he pretty good? Like, is he awesome? Is he like an awesome guy, or is he just a fucking asshole?
No, he's
I can't
like
fucking tell. I honestly can't tell because I'm looking at him and he seems to have an instant rapport. He seems to have an instant connection with everybody he's on the show with. He seems to be a likable fucking guy, but I want to see him fall into a fry vat every single episode. I want to see him scarred.
Like he has some idiosyncrasies that are just fucking completely annoying. Like the bling. Like, that's one thing that I cannot stand about him.
What is it? What is it?
Have you ever heard of him de-blinging?
No, what does that mean? He takes off his jewels?
This is
fuck.
His show. When he used to have a cooking show, which was, I have to say, was awful. It was bad. Like, all right, guys, we're going to make some kicked up ribs with cherry juice and jam, peanut butter, cayenne pepper, and pepperoncinos. And I call it the kicking bitchin' ass ribs from Sun.
I call them sherry shit kicking sherry wine swaddled rib cage. His show is bad.
His cooking show where he cooked, it was Guy's Big Bite was the name of it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that was his show. And it was like he had good guests. And they would come on and he would kind of, you know, sit back like he does on Diners, Drive-ins.
Triple D. Oh, God. You know what? I have this like embarrassing respect for the guy because he built what he is, but I have this fucking hatred for him because he's become what he is. Well, I just don't like exactly what he is.
What he is,
yeah.
You know, it's like I well, like no, his show. I like.
I don't know that he is what he, because he looks like a guy who has been sleeping on the beach with sunglasses. Every time he takes off his fucking shades,
it definitely is.
He's got like a ski bum face.
His sunglasses on.
And that hair that almost looks like Anne Burrell's hair. That fucking spiky blonde bullshit. It's
the exact same haircut.
Yeah. It's awful.
I think he would be a fun guy to go out and drink in Hoboken with. You know, like Guy Fieri's here. Like, let's go drink with him and give him shots.
Oh, my God. Apparently, Sandwich Humor Jeff from Truth Time Theater, which is going to be available Thursday on HeroesTalk.com and SandwichHumor.com, says that his ex got sued Guy Fieri for sexual harassment and settled out of court for $1.5 million after he broke up with her. How fucking unfortunate for him. Holy shit.
Yeah, hit that girl at the wrong point in her life.
Yeah.
2 or 3 years difference could have made a lot of money.
Yeah, if only it met her a year or two later. Jesus Christ. That's terrible.
I'm also sorry he sexually harassed her, as opposed to CNN.
That's got to be hilarious. Like, what kind of moves would he fucking put on someone? I mean, he's got to just be a go and try to feel it guy. Not like your words.
Like, I'm the next Food Network star. Did you see the series?
Like, he wouldn't fucking use his words to woo a woman. It seems like he would just fucking grab her tits and just say, like,
hey, girl, you're off the chain.
These are some banging bazingas. And then fucking, like, eat a crepe. Fucking douche.
That's a quick trip to Flavortown.
Oh, Christ. I hope the citizens of Flavortown fucking mount an assault on Guy Fieri and fucking and chase him down with pitchforks and torches.
No, that would be a great a great headline.
Oh, actually, maybe that's what
Onion.
Maybe that's how he created. Maybe that's how he created his wardrobe. The citizens of Flavortown set him ablaze. That's why every fucking bowler shirt he has fucking flames around the sleeves.
Citizens of Flamertown and Peach Guy Fieri.
Just awful. Fucking terrible.
No, but you know, I think he would be fun. Well, if as a guy.
So you'd like to hang out with him? You think you'd be good to chill with Guy Fieri?
I wouldn't say I'd like to.
Bro, I think we should go snake some poon tonight.
We're going to have poon potatoes.
Yeah, it just seems like the worst combination of every quality of every guy.
And then, like, the sunglasses turned around backwards on his ears but facing the right way. Like, you know, it's put them in your pocket. Come on.
Yeah. And I also don't appreciate how he tries to, like, decode fucking recipes that have stood the test of time. Like, somebody's like, oh, this is a secret blend of spices we've had for hundreds of years. Like,
that cumino in there.
I'll taste some tarragon. Cumino. A little bit of cumino. Shut the fuck up. And he fucking nails it. And I saw one where he was just guessing. He's like, I'm not going to say, but you tell me if I was right, right? The guy goes, yeah, sure. He fucking nailed it. And the guy looked fucking horrified.
Yeah,
the restaurant owner who's been protecting this recipe for fucking three generations of his family just turned fucking transparent.
He
collapsed.
Salt, pepper, garlic, paprika, and cumino.
And Worcester? Sure.
Sure.
Oh, what a fucking asshole. And yes, Goatweed, we expect Guy Fieri to be booked on the show. Please.
Yeah, we got to get Guy.
Guido. Guido.
Guido. Guido Fieri.
Oh! If only he dresses like he should be from Jersey, right? He dresses like he doesn't dress like he should be from Jersey. He dresses like
the South, right? Like Carolina or something.
He dresses how people expect New Jerseyans to look. That's his attire. The world perception of New Jersey. That's how he fucking dresses.
You know what? That's what it is. It's New Jersey Guido.
Yeah.
And his name is Guido.
Fuck.
I want to find out where he's from.
I don't give. He's from Flavortown.
He's from Flavortown.
Flavortown.
So Flavortown Guido.
Yeah. He's from West Flavortown. Right next to Shitsville and Douchebag 10.
He's from fucking Ohio.
Oh, well, who gives a shit? So your boy Lil Wayne not doing so well?
Yeah, my boy.
Well, you're the one who brought this up to me. You said, I got some earth-shattering news.
Yo, this is earth-shattering news.
Welcome to the Carter. I'm going to have to barter because I don't have no money.
Oh, shit. That was the worst. Best freestyle.
He's the worst. So what happened with Lil Wayne? Please let me know. I need to know this.
Well, initially what happened to him was he had some seizures, I guess, a couple weeks ago and then had more seizures.
What do you mean some seizures?
Like he had like
how many fucking seizures until we hit some?
No, three. I think he had like three mild seizures within a day.
Holy shit.
Like he got like all lightheaded and shit, but it was like a seizure. He said his head was ringing and shit. And it happened like three times in one day. And then apparently he was all right. And then like a week and a half later, he had like a full fucking seizure and passed out.
Shit. And
supposedly he was at Cedars-Sinai and fucking all these news.
People isn't that where every rapper like almost dies or dies?
Yeah, in L.A. Isn't that L.A.?
Like, I think Kanye West after his car accident, fucking Biggie Smalls died there. Tupac, I think.
Yeah, that's well, you know, I guess it's the major fucking advanced L.A. hospital or whatever. But anyway, so everyone was like everyone on all the news channels was saying he was in critical condition. He's almost dead. And then meanwhile, like one of his friends is like, yo, he's out of the hospital. He's watching the Syracuse game with me. And meanwhile, like CNN saying he's fucking critical condition. But yeah, he didn't die.
It ain't his own clothes. It ain't his own slang. It's his own. He his own person. He him. He do his own thing. And when he do things that other people do or have done or will do, they don't even compare it to it because he's him. Welcome to my world. Wayne's World. Party time. Ecstasy.
Wow. And apparently
he will be missed.
a pill-induced seizure. Combined with years of drinking NyQuil out of 32-ounce
You mean sipping on that sizzle? Wait, 32 ounces?
Yeah.
Of poisonous chemicals that your liver hates?
Hey, no.
Many, many years of that?
Yeah, beer got us through the fucking middle ages, not cough syrup.
Why don't you kick a freestyle for us?
That's not my vocation in life.
Have you graduated to Scissorp from Miller High Life?
Oh my God, no way.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? I've known people that like Lil Wayne. And,
really?
And they mostly girls.
And you can't, don't call him Lil Wayne, please.
Lil Wayne. Yeah.
Wayne. Mr. Carter. Wayne Nice. Yeah, Wayne Nice as shit, though. It's terrible.
Yeah, but.
It's awful.
And they embrace this whole thing of drinking fucking alcohol and cough syrup.
That's how we get it. That's how we go in. He drank that Robitussin Scissor Sprite mix. Whatever the fuck that shit is.
Like, that's fucked up. I've had Brass Monkey, and it was supposedly like someone asked, it might have been Ad-Rock, what Brass Monkey, like the recipe was.
Oh, and I'm sure
I had it in college, and it was good. It was just like, you know, fucking alcoholic orange juice, like an orange cream, something like that.
Did you step up to the bar and sit the girl down?
No.
Did she take a big gulp and then pass it around?
It was a frat party, and each room had a different drink.
Oh, so there were no girls?
No, there was a lot of girls. Oh. That was a good time in life.
Interesting. What's different, Steve? I mean, you're still drinking.
There was a lot more girls.
And you're in a basement. You're hanging out in basements drinking. Not much different on my end.
This is the third floor at the Brass Monkey.
Oh, I see. You should have an around the world party in your basement.
That's what it was, an around the world.
Oh, that's what it was? Okay, so it wasn't the frat staple of the foam party, the highlighter party, but it was, in fact, the around the world party. I went to one of those, and one of the dudes, like, I guess his room represented Italy because he had a fucking Italian flag tattoo, and he's obviously Italian. So he's like, oh, I got Italy covered. And he had a box of wine on his dresser. That was the extent of the wonder.
I'm trying to think now because the Italy in that party was Galliano. Yeah, they had fucking like
it
seven.
It was probably the worst party I've ever been to.
No, that's the worst Italian room I've ever been to. Everything else is
pretty
good.
How many Italian rooms and how many fucking around the world parties have you been to?
I've been to two around the world parties and two Italian rooms.
I've been to this. I went to the concept to that fucking party. I saw the concept and I realized I'd like to just fucking drink and socialize. I don't need to fucking have some kind of a guided tour through the dirtiest of houses with the fucking filthiest of people. I don't need to entrust my cup to be on somebody's fucking dresser next to their socks and condoms.
No, to be honest, I think at the second one when they had the Brass Monkey room, I stayed in that room because it was my friends that were in that room. So I slept there, and it was a good time. It was a good time.
It was a good time.
Second time around was much better than the first.
Shit. Well, Steven, I can't believe we had Willie Deagle. Willie Deagle. Uncle Jack's Steakhouse, jackshack.com. Beautiful looking Cuban burger on there. By the way, go to jackshack.com. I didn't have the heart to tell him. And this may be intentional, but that fucking Cuban burger looks exactly like a sideways pussy. It looks like a fucking sideways pussy from like a 1992 porno. Yeah, that's how you do it. You make it look like something that's desirable, and you implement your procedures and protocols. I'm telling you, burger of the week, the Cuban burger, $8.95, mind you. $8.95. Paid a lot more than $8.95 for a fucking meal at this shit place I went to with Germ Freak tonight. That shit looks exactly like a fucking delicious honey soaked fucking vagina. Just pursed, slightly wetted, and ready for action. Ready to be
bitten into and included in a value meal. Rotate it 90 degrees counterclockwise.
Yeah, that is totally right out of Swank magazine, 1996.
Yeah, I think he could sell rubber versions of that Cuban burger for twice the price.
He might. I mean, he's got a clothing line revolved around the restaurant. Maybe he'll have a fucking. Maybe he'll open up a wax shack.
You ever sex hear? Toy.
Shit, thing. Actually, I didn't even realize that. Every time when they have one of those sex toy places, it's nicknamed the Jack Shack or the fucking Whack Shack. Holy shit, Jack Shack? Are you fucking kidding me? The Jack Shack has a fucking a pussy-shaped burger. Congratulations.
I think
this guy is a fucking genius. The guy is a subtlety. Fucking genius.
The subtlety has been unraveled.
Yeah, I want to know where that pussy sandwich was farmed. I'm looking to find out its origin. Anyway.
Now I'm looking into this logo, see what I can see.
Yeah, that's going to be one of those things where, if you rotate it and you fucking fold it like in thirds, and then you put the corner of the other one, it's totally guy fucking some broad in the mouth. Yeah, because it's lines, and if you manipulate them, it could be anything you want it to be. So, yeah, they didn't intend on doing that. But you can't tell me they didn't try to make that fucking Cuban burger look like a goddamn fucking snatch. I saw that, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't have the heart to tell the guy. I should have fucking said something. I'm a goddamn loser. Anyway, why don't we wrap this shit the fuck up? Goddamn... Follow Willie Deagle on Twitter at Willie Deagle. Shit, man, I'm really excited that he and GoatWeed, thank you very much for getting him to come through.
Yeah,
I said I would call him. You said you'd call in 6 weeks. See him yelling at him when he's not here because I'm a fucking douche. Anyway, thank you for listening to the DJ New Style Show. Go to DJNewStyleShow.com. Subscribe, download everything we've ever done. I like hearing from you. So go to facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow. Like our page, leave me a comment so I have something to read while I'm dropping deuce. And I want a special thanks to Eric Ryan, who provided the music for our break and also the beds for the ads we played during our break. Those tracks were sampled from Armed With Audio, the latest album from Eric Ryan at ericryanmusic.com. Listen to the first track, the intro. You'll hear my fine voice giving a little shout out to Eric Ryan, as it were. Tomorrow night, Hear Us Talk. Don't forget to listen to Bug Zapper Radio. And Thursday night, a brand new episode. I believe episode 40 of Truth Time Theater.
Wow.
40. Holy shit.
Lordy, lordy.
HearUsTalk.com. We're blowing up in a big goddamn way. New show going to be added to the lineup very fucking soon. Steve, is there anything you'd like to say?
Carpe diem.
Thank you.
Remember your friends.
I agree. Oh, Captain, my Captain. Thank you.
Stein.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah! Hasha! Hasha! Give it to me, baby! Give it to me!
Go suck banana, fuck you!